Okay. So, like to welcome everyone. This is amazing. Appreciate it. Didn't realize we could such a turnout for the public hearing for the tax lien today. And most of you are unincorporated, not in Yorkville, so we really don't want to hear taxes. But nonetheless, welcome everyone. It's the Tuesday, November 9th, City Council meeting. And we always start with the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Now that reminds me of like an old high school assembly when you used to say the pledge before something. You could hear everyone. That was a pretty awesome thing. Okay, now we have the roll call, please.
Coke.
Here.
Transier.
Here.
Plocher.
Here.
Funkhauser.
Here.
Merrick.
Here.
Tarulis.
Here.
Peterson.
Yes.
We have a quorum.
Awesome, thank you. Okay, I have no amendments to the agenda, but I want to say something. Now the staff, and even the alderman, even the attorney, they know I can get a little bit cranky. And I was really disappointed that I couldn't park in my regular spot. So we're going to wait until the end to swear these guys in. So we're going to have to sit through all the public hearings. So we're going to go to the tax. I'm just kidding. Just kidding. Okay, so we're starting with swearing in. We're going to do it. You want to do Matt first?
Yes, please.
Okay. So Matt Nelson is going to be sworn in as a sergeant. Where's he at? Oh, he's over there. I didn't see him. And is your wife here, too?
Yes,
is she coming up, or what's, how's this working? I don't know. I knew what I was going to tell them to do. Oh,
right. I didn't hear that.
Bob, how are you?
I'm good, buddy. How are you?
Good to see you. Okay. Okay. Here, do you give this?
Yep.
I'll give it to you. Okay. So am I reading this?
Yep.
Awesome. Jump back around. You're supposed to raise your right hand, correct? Yep. Ready? Excellent. So I state your name.
I'm Matt Nelson.
Having been appointed to the officer of sergeant.
Having been appointed to the officer of sergeant.
In the United City of Yorkville.
In the United City of Yorkville.
In the county of Kendall, aforesaid.
In the county of Kendall, aforesaid.
Do solemnly swear.
Do solemnly swear.
That I will support the Constitution of the United States.
That I will support the Constitution of the United States.
The Constitution of the State of Illinois.
The Constitution of the State of Illinois.
And that I will faithfully discharge the duties.
And I will faithfully discharge the duties.
Of the Office of Sergeant.
Of the Office of Sergeant.
Of the United City of Yorkville Police Department.
Of the United City of Yorkville Police Department.
According to the best of my ability.
According to the best of my ability.
And I will tell the mayor he's the best.
First of all, I'd like to introduce Sergeant Matt Nelson, his wife Ray, his three sons, Luke, Blake, and Kane. I have this all written down because I'm old and I forget some. So, Luke, Blake, and Kane.
Where are they?
Yeah, come on up here.
I'm here.
Come on up here.
Yeah. Cannot deny they are Matt's kids. So, first of all, we'd like to congratulate Matt and his wife, Randy, on your promotion. It's a very exciting day in an officer's career, obviously, being promoted. But it's also a very exciting day for the police department. Ray Bear and I are very, very excited, and Garrett, soon to be Commander Garrett, are excited that, you know, you've met the challenge with the sergeant's testing. You did an amazing job. So we're really excited to bring you on. Matt began his career at YPD in 2012 after graduating from Western Illinois University. I first met Matt when he was an intern at Oswego Police Department. And I tried to steal Matt for years to come to Oswego, and I'm so glad he didn't go. So good work on that. Matt worked as a patrol officer, as a detective. You know, a lot of detectives over the course of your career, Matt was in the top two that I have met. Matt is just amazing with what he does and how he investigates, how he thinks of things. I would put Matt in any case, any way, shape, or form, no matter what it is, Matt would be that guy, and he would do an amazing job at it. So, going to be sad to see you go. We do have an awesome replacement. Sad to see you go, but, you know, it's a good thing. So, we also like to thank Randy. There's going to be a lot of long hours. Yes, he's going to work nights. Rotate every year. I get that, right? And there's going to be a lot of stress put on him. So he's going to need your support, and he's going to need the kids' support, along with his family's support. And it's great to see such a family presence here for Matt today. So I appreciate everybody coming out. Thank you. I do want to introduce some people in the crowd. Again, when you have a department like we have, and the men and women of the Yorkville Police Department are here, you can see many of them here. We'll also see the chief of Oswego, retired chief of Yorkville, Harold Martin. We have our police commissioners here, Ruben and Bob. We have Commander Baston from the Oswego Police Department. You have ISP retired Master Sergeant Joe Stavola is here. And you have Drew Sam, our CIT supervisor as well, which is awesome. So it's good to see so many people today. That's what I got. Congratulations. Stresses of what you're going to be facing when I'm being this This is a brand new position for the Yorkville Police Department. Garrett is going to be in charge of, he's going to be assigned to our Field Operations Division, in charge to the nighttime, primarily the nighttime. He's going to be working altered shift so we can bring more command supervision so that the patrol guys, they don't always have to, hey, where's command? What's going on? We can open up that, those lines of communication with Garrett. Anybody who knows that Garrett is probably the best communicator that I think I've probably ever worked with. One of the nicest guys I think I've ever met, and when I say that, I'm not joking. I'm being very, very serious. He understands leadership. He understands the mission. He's family-oriented. He's PD-oriented. And when you have a command staff, when you put something like that in your command staff, it immediately makes your department better. And that's what Garrett does for us here at the Yorkville Police Department. I know his team is getting a great guy, but they're also sad to see this guy go as well. He's not gone. He's just going to be there in a different perspective. So he will always be around. So Garrett retired in 2007, 14 years with the police department. He served as a shift supervisor, patrol officer, Kendall County SRT, Kendall County Major Crimes Task Force. Believe it or not, he's an undercover narcotics guy. Look at him. Doesn't really look like that. I'd love to see maybe the
Rocco might argue with you about that.
He was a firearms instructor, a detective, and an internet crimes investigator. So Garrett has done pretty much everything within our organization. He's a graduate of Northern Illinois University with a Bachelor of Science in Sociology. He loves hunting and fishing, and his wife beats him in golf most of the time. Which is a good thing. He hits the ball good. I mean, she's really good. So I want to congratulate you.
Thank you, Chief.
Thank you very much for joining our command staff. I'm excited. Obviously, thank you for being a part of our meeting. Thank you.
City Hall and Police Station at 651 Prairie Point Drive. Two, the acquisition and/or renovation of additional existing buildings located within the city for municipal purposes. And three, other capital infrastructure projects within the city, including water, sewer, and road construction and repairs. Public hearing is now open. Do I have anyone who'd like to speak on the 2011 bond refinancing for our public hearing? Is there anyone in Zoom land who would like to speak to the 2011 bond refinancing public hearing? Hearing none, I close the 2011 bond refinancing public hearing. Thank you very much. Thank you. Thanks for attending. Did you record the swearing in and all that too?
No.
Oh, okay.
I only started when you do a public hearing.
No, I was like, God, if you weren't here, we're typing away there.
I went a bit crazy.
Excellent. Can we continue, or do you?
No.
Okay, perfect. Perfect. Thank you. Okay, next. Well, we're back to citizen comments. Are there any citizen comments on the agenda? Are there any citizen Zoom land who'd like to comment on the agenda? Tim, did you have anyone say any of these? Okay, just
check. I don't think there's anybody in Zoom land other than those that are here also on their computer.
Oh, that could be. I can never tell.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, now we're to the consent agenda. We have minutes from the October 12th and October 26th meeting and bills in the amount of $891,693.18. Is there a motion to approve?
So moved.
Aye.
I heard Peterson and Funkhauser. And I guess we can't have discussion, so roll call, please.
Koch?
Aye.
Plocher?
Yep.
Funkhauser?
Aye.
Tarulis?
Aye.
Transier?
Yes.
Merrick?
Yes.
Peterson?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Thank you all. Next, we have several items, and I'll probably turn a little bit over. But, the first one under Mayor's report. Actually, the fun stuff is not listed. I should tell you all about this. Okay, so a couple things. We heard today, Brad heard today, where Brad is somewhere, maybe he's in the room. Nonetheless, Brad heard today that we received a grant. Was this through the Fed money through the state? Is that how that worked?
Yeah, through the King Federal Council.
Okay, we received a grant for about $475,000, correct?
Correct.
To improve Bristol Ridge Road. And the project will be about $700,000, so that's about two-thirds of it. That's something you all supported applying for about a year ago, was it? Maybe earlier this year, late last year? It's been that long, wow. Anyway, so we got the money, and Brad's expecting we'll do a June letting next year, and it'll be done next year. That road's sorely in need of improvement, so we'd already approved about $1.5 million in our road to better road, so this will be another $700,000. This will put over two, and knock on wood, the budget comes in strong, you know, we might be able to push close to $3 million improvements next year. So that was great. I was just excited when I heard that. And then something else we heard, not quite as exciting, but pretty dang exciting. IDOT sent a letter to me. Was it IDOT or was it the governor called?
It was IDOT.
Yeah, I don't remember what it was on. But anyway, I forwarded the staff because I screwed up. But anyway, they sent a letter and said, in the past, all the trails along the state highways, around 71, around 471, they approved, they wanted the city to pay 20% and do maintenance. Now they're saying, if you do the maintenance, we'll kick it 100%, so you don't have to put it in. So for Route 71, we're expecting that to save us about $42,000, and Route 47 about $75,000.
Wow.
So, and no further commitment from us. And they just said, because you're doing such an awesome job in Oakville, we want to help you out. Actually, I think it's just a new state program, but nonetheless, it was good news. So those are all the non-written mayor reports on the first report. So next, we have the public works vehicle purchases and disposal. Actually, we're not doing disposal at this point, are we? Because we think we might keep it. So I'm looking for a motion to approve the public works vehicle purchases.
So moved.
I heard Merrick, I believe. And then Peterson. Did I hear you, Merrick?
Yep.
Yeah, okay. So, Bart, I'm going to let you explain this because I'll jack it up.
Yeah, so this is going to be through Sourcewell, which the National Purchasing Cooperative are part of. The specific vendors for Linco sales. We've got two 2022 Ford F-350 dump trucks. And two 2022 Ford F-350 pickup trucks in an amount not to exceed about $210,000, along with two snowplows for use with parks trucks in the amount of $16,300. There is a detailed spec sheet in the packet. If you want to look at the specific options, our public works guys fixed out. But the gist of it is that we need to authorize it now for delivery probably 6 months from now, if we're lucky. And at that time, we would recommend disposal of certain trucks at that time. So there is an motion in front of you dealing with the disposal. When we get deliveries of new trucks, we will then go through and figure out which trucks we want to trade in or get rid of, and then seek disposal at that time. And Eric, I don't know if there's anything else you wanted to share about that.
That was great. I said, look, anybody had questions?
Questions? On Kaiser?
No.
Okay. Okay, this requires a roll call vote, please.
Plocher?
Yes.
Funkhauser?
Aye.
Tarulis?
Aye.
Transier?
Aye.
Merrick?
Yes.
Peterson?
Yes.
Koch?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Thank you. And similarly, we're going to look for, I'm looking for a motion to approve 28-21-56 of Parks and Recreation Vehicle Purchases.
So moved.
Transier, and who is second over here? Merrick, go ahead. Bart, I'll turn it over to you, please.
Also through Sourcewell again, different vendors, the National Auto Fleet Group, the delivery time is about the same. We've got four trucks in total, again, all budgeted. One 2022 Ford F-350 dump truck with a plow, one 2022 Ford F-250 pickup truck with a plow, and then two 2022 Ford F-250 pickup trucks in an amount that would exceed $176,498.84. Same thing with Public Works. When we get delivery of them, we will decide which ones we want to dispose of and then bring a motion and an agenda item back in front of the board at that time.
Questions on this one? Roll call, please.
Funkhauser?
Aye.
Tarulis?
Aye.
Transier?
Yes.
Merrick?
Yes.
Peterson?
Yes.
Koch?
Aye.
Plocher?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Thank you. And just an update, we're trying to get a little more information. We might bring back next meeting. It might be in December. We got notification on which vehicle was there, that there's an $18,000 price increase.
That is the Peterbilt truck that we ordered back in March. They are now saying that it is almost $20,000 to $18,500 increase in price, and we will not receive it before July. They won't give us a permit.
So we'll be bringing that back because it was approved with the increase. We're going to bring it back, just stamp it. And I guess if you don't want to support it, my opinion is we really don't have a choice. It's just the cost of the truck right now. So, but we just found out about that, so that'll be another meeting. Okay, next. Ooh, this is exciting, actually. Number of wards and aldermen. So every 10 years, as you know, there's a federal census. That's actually the Constitution, isn't it? That there's a census every 10 years?
Correct.
Yeah. So you remember something. Constitution week in September. But anyway, every 10 years, there's a census. As you know, we had an official census of 21,533. And a side note of that, I'll be talking to Marty here. I don't know how frequently we can do a special census and when it pays off, but we'll be looking back because we've had. That was as of April 1st, 2020, right? So, you know, we're probably 1,500 people by then. But nonetheless, we have to do redistricting, that's what they call it, based on the census, the 10-year census, and we've some options. We can stick with four wards and eight aldermen. We can go to five wards and 10 aldermen, or we can go to seven wards and 14 aldermen. And six isn't in there because it's the way the state statute read. It's just goofy, but that's what it is. So those are options. Did I kind of cover well?
Yeah.
Okay.
Those are your three options.
Yeah, so go ahead. Let's have some discussion. We're not looking to vote on this tonight. We'd like to vote on it, but we need to give staff direction. You know, instead of drafting three different ones and voting on three, let's see if we can come to, if not a consensus, at least, hey, we're going to pass this and move on. So who wants to start? Mr. Plocher.
Keep it the way it is.
Keep the way it is?
Yeah.
Okay, Mr. Cole likes that idea. Others have any other opinion? Saber? What's that?
I'm that way too.
Anyone else?
Pardon me?
Just wanted a question though. So does that mean you'll be redrawing the boundary being with the four words, right? Maybe. When we get the census shape files back, we'll be able to determine if our ward boundaries are out of whack. And if they are, then we will need to redistrict.
Mr. Funkhauser.
I was actually inclined to go with the five-word
Okay.
That was my instinct, is, you know, to be able to apply to the city a little bit better based on how our awards are right now. So I think it would give a decent representation to go to five.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
Five works and ten. Is
five
works
and ten. Yeah.
So increase by two all.
Yeah, two aldermen, and then you look at redistricting. Because I have kind of ran redistrict as it is. There are actually some online applications you can use to do some redistricting. I've taken a look at it, and our board just need right now, so we're going to have to do some number crunching moving around. But I would actually like to, you know, make sure that this gets up in front of the public. Either which way, if we're going to change the wards, or if we, when we do redistrict, look at how that will put the community on.
Okay. Other comments?
I'm kind of the same way. I think that's what I originally told Bart is probably the five wards, assuming we're probably going to redistrict anyway. Certainly wouldn't want to go larger than that. I think that would be too much. I think we'd have a surplus, and I think it'd be hard to fill seats. But I would say 10 or keep it the way it is. I mean, I'm kind of more inclined to 10, I think, more than keeping it the way it is, in my opinion.
Okay.
But depending on how that map runs out, then maybe we'll be able to better serve the community having five wards.
Follow up on that. When's the last time the city increased the amount of wards and thus the amount of aldermen? Has it always been?
Yeah.
So there's never been an add-on?
Yeah, that was my question. How long have we been at?
I believe it was 1,000, and I think it was four wards then.
But even prior to that,
because
1980, four wards, eight aldermen.
So
never been an increase in aldermen since the city government has been formed.
I believe that's correct. Yeah. If I recall, historically, the statute was four wards, eight, and then it jumped to the, 14 aldermen.
Seven and 14.
So there was no in-between prior, and it was, you know, population-based. So we didn't hit the criteria, because when they rewrote this part of the legislation, it was because there was such a big jump. And I know we actually were on board with the work of the legislators to get this reprieve, so we wouldn't have to go to 14 at the last election, for the last census, because that was in the balance that we would not fare well.
So. Other comments?
So when we visited this about 10 years ago, we did just pass 15,000 based on the census?
Yes, we had passed 15 and they chose to keep it at 40.
So I hear some four, and some eight, and some five, and some ten.
Like Kristen, Jason said, as the population continues to increase, it just makes sense because the population is going to continue to go up. Do we have the ability to revisit this on an annual basis? Traditionally, not on the census.
Every 10 years, you get a bite of the apple or whatever you do, a special census, and you change the population.
I didn't read that. You can do it in a special census.
So
that was every 10 years.
I believe that's the case, if only because that's what we ran into in 2007 when we did the special census. We crossed 15,000 or one of the thresholds, and we had to go higher. The legislation that was in place at the time didn't allow us to do it in the special census, but it allowed us to do it in the Senate. So we got the legislation to be able to ratchet it down or up, you know, at the special and the Senate.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
I didn't read that.
I'm not sure the memo would cover that, but that was the issue that we ran into.
No, I just remember the quote of the statute, but okay. So we can't just do it whenever, to answer your question. There's some question, can you do it?
Correct, unless you do it by referendum, which is more in the line of like eliminating two aldermen down to one alderman, and then changing the number of wards in the poll. That's voter-based.
And how much time do we have to have this discussion?
So technically you have a year, I believe, from the receipt of the census results. The more practical deadline that you're going to run up against, though, is that you have to redistrict prior to, I forget how many days it is, but you have to do it prior to the petition being able to be circulated for the next mayoral election, which I believe is August or September of next year. And so you have to have everything done before then so that everything is locked in place for the next mayoral election.
So to that point, we don't have to do it now, but went on to wait till next summer.
Yeah, yeah, and I would anticipate that we're going to get the shape files and the Census Bureau data here in the next month or two, depending on how it happened last decennial census. And last time, I think it took us a couple months to do the redistricting. We did it in-house, the EEI, and then had a couple of discussions at the city council level. It wasn't too controversial at the time, so, you know, we got it done well in advance of the deadline.
Mr. Funkhauser, did I say your name again?
No.
Okay. So, go ahead, someone else.
Can we kind of get a guess right now? Can we work with the emerging population?
You know, that is an interesting question.
If I had a guess, it'd be 1 in 4.
Yeah.
Just about a guess.
A lot of stuff going on.
Grand Reserve on the south side, too.
Yeah, that's probably, yeah, we get that. That's probably not right.
Yeah. Well, look at Grand Reserve on the east side of Autumn Creek, if they ever develop that site between Bristol Ridge and Autumn Creek. Yeah. That big farmland is all part of Grand Reserve.
Now, the one thing is we have to, we have to draw these based on the population at the census, not on, you know, what's happened since then, or what we think is going to happen.
Yeah, we can't use population.
Right, exactly.
Right. Can't do that.
So,
but that's where I think when you do 5 wards, it will probably tend to allow a better distribution to grow back within each of those wards. Because you figure whenever something else comes into that ward, you got it for 10 years. And right now, the way that the 4 wards are, we've seen how the unbalance has kind of gone to the southeast, push to the northeast, and I mean that's what we had originally with our prior one, is to push northeast with Grand Reserve.
Yeah.
And skew that port significantly. So if there's no way to tell how it's gonna go.
So let me ask you this. And again, I'm not trying to reach a decision there, but is there anyone here who's interested in 7 and 14?
No.
So we can rule that out.
Right. Yeah.
So let me ask you, I'm not opposed. What do you think? Here's the thing. I'm not opposed to it, but sometimes surveys are just, they're surveys, and just, you know, make a damn decision and move on.
Right.
If you want us to put some out on Facebook or something like that, you know, hey, we're thinking about 4 or 8 or 5 or 10, anyone have, you know, it doesn't hold us to anything, you know, or you just say, no, let's just make a decision and move on. Any thoughts one way or the other?
I like Chris's idea of letting the public involved, because
yeah,
essentially it affects them the most.
Yeah.
I mean, how many people are we going to represent in our individual boards? They don't mind having 5,000 per ward, but they want it cut down by 1,200.
Okay.
Now, I know we've done surveys in the past using the water bills, and people have responded to those, so I don't know if it's up to state, what's easy to deal with, but I don't know. I'd like the input from.
And I like to actually see the numbers.
When you say the numbers, what?
Well, a good idea is.
Well, we have 21,533 people based on the
right. Are they, like, I imagine the old part, 2 and 3, probably didn't change much.
Well, they didn't grow much.
Yeah, they can't grow
much. Yeah, but I guess, Ken, and I'm not saying we should look at the numbers, but you have 21,533 people. So you either have 4 wards with, you know, 5,400 people, or 5 wards with whatever comes up to 4,700 people. Because the map itself isn't going to change the number of people per ward, it's just where the wards will be. But yet, again, to that point, that we can, we're hoping to have that information here shortly, aren't we?
Yeah, they haven't given us a deadline. I'm just basing this on past history. It's usually a couple months after we get our results.
So
to the point about the surveys, just a small note, our next water bill is about the end of December. We do have survey monkey capability. We did that for chickens. We have the ability to cold mail letters with surveys and do publicity and probably get a fairly representative sample of the community in order, you know, to base that on if anybody wants to. The cost of that is basically the cost of mailing from our city services survey, which we haven't done in a few years. Usually takes a couple thousand direct mail pieces in order to get a representative sample. So, you know, it's usually $1,000 or something, you know, in hard costs.
So what do y'all think? Chris?
I'd be inclined to do something more like the online survey, you know, do the timing for that part of it, just to get it done, if we do that. My take is, you know, 4 wards, 5 wards, 8, 10, I'm not as concerned with that. I'm more concerned about the actual maps, you know, making sure that people are comfortable with their representation and how it's spread. So, I mean, if we were making a decision of quantity of awards. I think that's a lesser impact as to the dispersal of awards. But if we can do it via the survey, we can get that quickly.
Okay, we'll figure out some kind of survey. Any other comments? I guess just a couple last things. Again, we're not deciding it tonight. As you contemplate this, I just ask yourselves this. If you feel like people aren't getting represented, you know, because I know all of you, if people have comments, you can respond. And most of you, you know, even let me know, hey, this is going on. That's the first thing. And the second thing is, and I know, and I was going to give an update later, I'll just talk about it now. You know, we have Ward 2 appointment. I start having conversations. I'm planning to appoint somebody to the next meeting. But we had 7 people for that. But the last election, and listen, I'm not complaining about anyone on this council, I'll take it this way, but 3 of them ran unopposed. And I had to talk to a couple of you and say, why don't you run? And the other race, there was 2 people. So, you know, it sometimes it sounds great to have more representation, but we're struggling to get people to run sometimes. So, right. And I think part of that's a testament to all you, because you're doing a great job. You know, the only time people really want to run is when they're mad right now. And knock on wood, they're not too mad yet. So, anyway, we're not making a decision. But think about those things, because I've seen where you're like pulling teeth to get people to run. Really? Yeah. I know the ones that you've been here longer than I have, you've seen that too. You had to make appointments or something like that. So, anyway, good discussion. We'll figure out something on the survey. I appreciate the input. Okay. Excellent. Do we have anything for Public Works Committee? EDC, looks like we have some stuff going on there. Who's going to lead this charge?
Well, there's a nice memo in the packet that kind of gives some updates based on the EDC feedback and different downtown grant components. You know, I kind of boiled down all the feedback and all the projects that have been listed without even putting the quantity to the Riverfront Bridge. You're at more than $6.5 million still, which would certainly make a great grant application. I'm sure the state would look favorably on it if we wanted to kick in $3.5 million to get another $3 million. But based on the feedback at the last meeting, I think we probably need to pare that down to the $3 to $4 million range. So there are a fair number of pieces of information since the last meeting, complete with you know, detailed cost estimates from EDI on some of the streetscape projects and other things. And then additionally, Christy and Jason from Community Development had went through and actually had did a relative score and weight for each one of the projects listed based on the components within the grant. So that is not a hard and fast, detailed, quantitative analysis as much as it is, you know, did check this box and how many boxes did each project check within the grant application and then comparing them relative. So, you know, we were somewhat agnostic between the projects, or we like them all. You know, it might be better to kind of pick some that are better grant fits than not. And we need to conduct the $3 to $4 million range. So I'll leave it up to the floor or the mayor and how the conversation wants to go. There's a lot of information in the packet. We've got a lot of, you know, things prepared out.
So, questions or comments? And one thing I guess I'll say is, I said to Mark, one thing I'd like to see is, I'd like to see us do, you know, when we talk about doing the new water line behind the East Alley there, that, you know, requires the pavement. But I, after having that Margarita's Mile back there, even though the weather wasn't the best, we had real good turnout, some other events, I think if we could do something aside from just putting the new water line in there, pave that back alley nice and neat, and put some type of permanent seating in there with maybe some lighting, maybe not a huge stage, but some type of stage where we could see some activities like that. That's just something I'd like to see. I think that's, I've seen again in the last year, year and a half, that really brought some excitement downtown, so.
Like the amphitheater?
Maybe, I'm not, you know, I haven't thought about that much. Obviously, it's a tight time frame to put this together, that part I understand. But just something where people can do little performances, have, you know, some of those businesses have little bands back there, so. Doesn't have to be anything crazy, but that's just one of the ideas I had. So I'm open to other comments, questions, so. Go ahead.
Hey, Bart, I didn't hear what you were saying about the bridge and the $6 million. Can you explain that again?
So there's a list, it's PDF page, 200 something.
List on 239.
Thank you.
Yeah, and so what I did was I took the complete price quote of everything that we've ever talked about.
Okay.
And threw it on that list. But I do not have a cost estimate yet for the pedestrian bridge across the entire Fox River.
Okay.
I do have an update on it, which I'll get here in a second.
Okay.
But a couple of the projects that a few of the EDC members didn't like, engaging art form, acquisition of buildings to turn it into an incubator space, I just backed those out, and we're still $6.3 million worth of projects. And that's without, my guess is, you know, probably a $4 plus million, you know, pedestrian bridge across the Fox River. So, you know, it seems that, you know, we probably should pick a couple things, you know, wherever we think the highest value is or the most impact, and kind of focus there. My update on the Riverfront Bridge was I have not dug up hard materials yet because I don't think the committee that discussed this in the 2000s was a formal committee as much as it was just a group of interested downtown business owners and elected officials. But when the state redesigned the dam and then designed the bypass chute, there was a pretty robust discussion we're hearing from IDNR officials and then people who were on the committee at the time about putting in a feature piece bridge across the entire Fox River, either as an extension to the one that was built to the island or somewhere else. And everybody thought that it was a great idea and they saw the price tag and just said there's better things to do, you know, given that there's two, you know, I would say, not the greatest sidewalks on the bridge, to Ken's comments at the last meeting. And so they kind of shied away from that, just, you know, to focus on other things. So if I can bring up those materials from somebody, I will, but I have not found them yet. They're not in any of our archives or our files, so I think it was more just like an interested group of people that were advising the city at the time.
Okay, thank you.
Other questions or comments?
Yeah, just in the meeting I mentioned that, you know, if ultimate goal would be nice to have a trail up and all along the downtown there, you know, right now we stop the bridge kind of. I don't know if that's possible or not, the properties that are still there. And I was like, I kind of like the FS to be painted. Because there was a commercial, you see it on YouTube, the Metronet and stuff. Somebody filmed a commercial down there, and then you're watching it, and it shifts over to that, and it's kind of like, oh wow. It looks nice, and then it shifts over, and you see the rusted old.
Oh, the silos?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's not a big, I don't think that's a big dollar item in this process.
Now, we did, facade improvement programs are eligible, so we can ask for a pot of money to then grant out to local businesses. So we did have that type of $250,000, you know, part of this estimate.
Other questions, comments? Mr. Funkhauser.
So this grant is to facilitate economic recovery from COVID. So my question when I look at the project list is which of these projects actually achieve that? Achieve the goal of economic stimulus or recovery? And well, I like the idea of, you know, let's get Van Hammen, let's, or, you know, Hydraulic Avenue, East Alley, repaved, redone water lines. How do these projects tie into that? And I know we talked about some of these other details of, you know, well, let's do incubator spaces, you know, that's going to create little jobs, it's going to create businesses. What I wanted to do is compete with our existing businesses and have an issue bringing in, you know, government subsidized spaces that are going to possibly be problematic. I mean, there were some benefits we talked about that, you know, maybe the sheds and the incubator spaces are great for, you know, like a primo market in the winter, you know, they're extend the season of markets. But I want to be very careful on us not doing something with some of these that are going to impede the recovery of existing businesses. But I also want to make sure that we're going to go for something and we're achieving the intent of this grant. And so it's finding that balance of which of these projects actually do that and which ones are just, you know, reaching out to the government money that's being thrown at us. You know, and I'm not saying I don't want to try to do that, but if we have our share on it, we got to be ready to pony up for that. So that's what I'm looking at when I look at the scoring the staff did and the costs on these. How much do we want to put out and what's the best benefit? What's the likelihood of us getting a grant award if we just go on with, you know, patients and got to find a balance of what's good for the COVID recovery based on the grant and what's good for us generally. And that's what I'm struggling with.
Paul Mulligan of the Play, which is the group that was fundraising for the stage and the main presentation a few months ago, is participating via Zoom. He does that with Andreas in case you want to call us.
Thank you so much. I just wanted to say that myself and our organization, not-for-profit Play, would be very excited to be involved with whatever you're working on down there, because as our hearts are into art and that area, so like I said, please reach out to us and we can try to give you any kind of support or volunteers or whatever you need to help fulfill your plans also. So.
Thank you. Other comments?
I mean, I think we had a healthy discussion about it. I think Chris brings up a great point. There are some stuff in here, I think, that would help create a destination for downtown. You know, if you put some decorative lighting up, like we've talked about with the downtown overlay that we, you know, paid a lot for that study for. But also the art, you know, art in the walls. I mean, it just creates a more atmospheric downtown to create more people to come down and then spend money at the businesses, right? I mean, ultimately, that's what we want to do, right? That's the end game. So if we can go through this and discuss what you guys think on some of these topics so that we can push it off for staff to kind of advance, maybe we can create that. Maybe we can win that and be able to create that better downtown space that people want to come to and spend money.
So on the screen there, that's the chart. Christy and Jason did that, right?
Yes.
Yeah, they're scoring. And there were, and I don't have it in front of me, and I'm sure I can't read that, but there were three of them that rated with 9 points, I think, in their estimation?
Yes, the acquisition or renovation or construction of new buildings, that's the incubator space tie-in, the facade improvement program, which was going to be my suggestion for project number one. It seems like there's pretty broad support for that. And then you've got both of the East Alley projects, so underground and the electric utilities, and the water main replacement is at 9. So technically there's four projects. So if I could
please.
Yeah.
What is your direction?
Is the facade improvement program, is that like number one, it's only $250,000 or so of good businesses? Cover, we would have, I would assume, broad discretion to be able to grant, grants to businesses at a later date. Does that seem like an obvious first step?
Does anyone oppose that one? Chris?
Not opposed. What I'd like to say is I think it would be beneficial if we worked in conjunction with them to do some site enhancements as well, whether it's the exterior patios or your spaces outside. I know they've done a lot during COVID, but maybe some of it's making it more permanent, you know. So maybe it's additional hard surfacing, or it's, you know, repainting with a nice material, better lighting.
Exterior, so.
Exterior, yes. So it's just not just facade.
So facade and exterior improvement.
Yes.
Yeah. Anyone have an objection to that?
So maybe that line item increases a little bit.
Okay.
That'd be my suggestion. Do you want to do $400,000 as opposed to $250,000?
Sure. Yeah. And I think what we'll do is we'll go through this tonight. We'll bring something back. Yeah, the next meeting in December. This has to be submitted January 10th.
It does.
So we're going to have to approve this in December. That's a challenge we have. It's a tight time frame. And I apologize, but if we get an opportunity to get a couple $1 million and do things that, you know, brings activity to downtown and do improvements that we know we need to do, I think it's something we have to look at seriously. Okay, go ahead, Bart.
Okay. And I know the EDC had talked a little bit about not wanting to do acquisition or renovation of construction buildings, but when paired with the incubator program, it is probably one of the higher ranking ones. So I guess the default based on the EDC committee is no thanks, we don't want to do that, but it is one of the higher ones. So, you know, I think that there's probably direction to be received from this group not to pursue that one, even though it's highly rated.
Ah. website about it. What is the date on the front of it? I'm not opposed to purchasing a building if we're going to do something productive with it. And I don't have anything in mind. You know, maybe there's a building that we're going to buy and it's an eyesore, not that they're any down there. Maybe we're going to purchase something and maybe we'll make it a parking lot. You know, maybe there's something that to get to point, we can expand the riverfront. So the actual purchase of a building, I'm not opposed per se. Say it and do it just because it's available, but incubator space I'm not excited about. I think it's too much for us to manage with our resources.
Second or third that, I think, don't like the idea of the acquisitions for incubators and spaces like that. There, while they have a great value to communities, I don't think the government's wanting to do that right now, and especially when we already have enough buildings and land downtown. Not want to do that, maybe we can repurpose the buildings, but I don't want to take one off the titles.
Yeah, the incubator space, I've heard it work great in other towns, restaurants. I have a niece who's in Florida, she says it works great down there for restaurants. But I know that we're in a position where we want to, that's just my opinion, so.
But if somebody brought us a building and wanted to partner, we could facilitate it, but I don't want to provide it.
But the city's not really a remodeler either. So, I mean, to take on that responsibility, I'm not, I guess, really up for that. And then you're kind of playing the market conditions and you're holding a lot of liability, in my opinion.
So, I'm not trying to put words in your mouth. You're not excited about the remodeling?
Acquisition, yeah.
Okay. What about just acquisition? If we say, boy, there's something comes up, maybe we make it a park now. And I don't know. And I know everything's somewhat specific to this, that's why it's kind of tough, but.
If it's a parking lot or something that's going to benefit us,
or maybe
in the downtown area,
riverfront property or something.
Maybe something like that we could benefit. But to get to find an existing building, remodel it, and then try to figure out what we're to do with it, I'm just not really on board with that.
Well, I tell you what, we're not going to vote on anything tonight. That gives us some direction on that. That's maybe not real high on the list, but
that would also give dollars a lot faster.
It could. It could. No doubt about it. Yeah. Okay, so that one's maybe a little shakier.
The other high-ranking ones, I'm going to package the two together for the East Alley, so that'd be the water main replacement and utility improvement. So it would give all the businesses in the East Alley not only better water service, and modern water service, because it's overdue, this is money we were going to spend anyway. But if you move a water main outside of the easement that it currently sits in, you might be able to foster development of outdoor patio space, where the existing water main is located, which is next to the building. So that with the underground utilities, which is the electrical utilities in the East Alley, could package together some of the mayor's discussion about turning that East Alley into more of a communal gathering space than just a parking lot that currently sits. So that is two different projects. One of them is about $400,000, one of them is $684,000. So we'll say $1 million. 1.1 if we want to be more conservative. Is everybody on board with those? We talked about that being able to be, some of it can be paid for out of water funds. So, you can kind of offset the local match with some of those.
And Eric and or Brad, on that, the water, that's something we don't necessarily have to do now, but before those vacant spaces get developed, we're going to need to do something. Is that correct?
Correct. That's been on our list of replace. That's been a troublesome water main. For quite a few years, we've had many water main breaks back, I believe, four in the last less than 10 years.
And if the old vacant property now that were to get developed, we would need to have that in there, is that correct?
We would want to have that in there, and especially if somebody else is going to tap off of that to run their loop, absolutely.
Okay, so back to your point, Mr. Funkhauser, what's going to help drive investment or drive revenue down there for the businesses, having infrastructure in place is going to be a big thing.
I think this is one of the biggest ones that I can see, seeing the utilization of that alley over the past year. The use has grown so dramatically from what it's out of that, so it's used almost every weekend.
Yeah,
so if we can interrupt them for a little bit of time to put in the utilities and actually have something a little better, get rid of the overhead power lines, we can make it something.
I think where Tampa's Wheaton, your town? Your hometown? Don't they have something like that?
They have, their downtown, they have a block or two of their hotel restaurant bars, and they've taken one of the locks and just put a permanent kind of tent over it and blocked off the street.
Let's see if we get some, not tonight, but get some pictures. And I don't know that we're going to replicate them, but at least to Mr.
Yeah, Hanks. Yeah, like, listen, man, kind of what's happening already down in our area, the downtown East Valley area. But they have a big tent that covers it up, so you can go out there and you can sit at different tables and
Batavia's done a lot of that. If you go downtown by the river there in Batavia, they actually closed one of the streets off, and it's now open for pedestrians type going to businesses and stuff.
Yeah, it works. I mean, it definitely, especially down the river there. Again, this last year and a half, as Chris said, I saw a lot more traffic down there than I ever expected. So anyone opposed to that? And then obviously we'll probably get a little more in there for doing, you want to do some seating and whatever, lighting or something, so. Okay.
All right, so the next two highest ranked, in our opinion, are the two repaved and streetscape realignments of Van Nuys and Hydraulic. Of note, those are both $2.7 billion in total. So one of them was just under $1 million, one of them was about $1.7 million. So, you know, if we tacked on both of those, that's going to put us already at $4.2 million, which is a $1.2 million commitment on top of it. So, you know, those comments have been made already that maybe we don't want to do that, or maybe we want to scale it down, but it is the next highest rated item.
Comments? Chris?
This is one that ties into our downtown plan that we have. The kind of the north, the pedestrian vehicular ways. I think this helps us achieve the goal of creating a pedestrian friendly, nice downtown. It's the most expensive part of it that we're looking at. Did this include the additional block east and west, or is this still the condition? Did this take into account the extra?
Yeah, Christy is unmuted, so I'm guessing she's going to make a comment. Yeah. And clarification.
Yes. Yes, it's only for the east side as proposed.
Okay, so the repave on the west side, we're not going to handle anything there. It's all Van and Hydraulic. Yeah. I mean, like I said, most expensive. Bad thing is we're focusing an awful lot of this on the east side. I don't see really anything going to the west side. I don't want to favor one or the other, but that's what it looks like we're doing.
I think that's a fair comment.
Yeah.
It's a very fair comment, and I'm not opposed to looking at stuff on the west side, but even if you take those projects out, that East Alley is something we've talked about.
Absolutely.
I mean, that's, so if we did nothing else, you know, but a couple of these things, that East Alley is going to eat up a chunk of it, just because I think that's a project we all feel is high on the list. I can't disagree with what you're saying. So back to this, what do you think on the streets? Do those, knowing we're going to, you know, have to kick in some money? And I think, I'm going to back up a second. I think my guess is our best chance to get money from the state is not us showing we want $3 million. Here's $3 million in projects. Our best chance is we want $3 million and we're going to do some of this stuff, fund some of it on our own that maybe we have to do. So that's the way I look. I just think if we put more money in, locally, it's going to help. But any thoughts on these two projects, or would you say, yeah, to Chris's point, they're nice, they're expensive, maybe we can do other things with those types of dollars. Anyone?
If there's no one else.
Who's? Oh, Chris again.
I'll take one more thing on it. The one thing I see with this, if we were to do this, I think this might be the catalyst that starts to get somebody other redevelopment to happen. Because if we show that we're willing to put the money in for the streetscape, we make it nice, we make it pedestrian friendly, we do the alleyway, that may be a catalyst to bring in, you know, billions of dollars of additional redevelopment.
So, Chris, that's a fantastic point. And to that point, I've had conversations in the last 2 weeks with two or three different individuals, separate parties, who say they're real interested in doing stuff down there. And so I've explained to them, hey, we're looking at applying for this grant. Not that they're going to have their plans together in time to put here, but that might be the catalyst that helps spark something. You know, if that's the case, if we were to get this grant, able to do some of these projects, in the next 3 or 4 years, you could see a real turnaround down there. I didn't even firmly believe that. So, okay, so the road thing, we're going to have to bring this back next meeting. We're not going to get this done in one meeting, so we're going to bring it back next meeting. And then the following meeting, I think we're going to have to narrow it down a couple times. Okay, as we get further down the list, Bart, what were you on next?
So I think it started to come together here. So I flipped through and I just went a couple categories down. Broadband, the catenary lights, the wall murals, and the pedestrian crossing, the next four, and that's split between a couple different scores there. All of those together are somewhere in the $1.3 million range, which gets us up to about $2.8 million.
1.3 combined?
Yeah,
okay.
Right around there. So that would fully give you broadband, internet access throughout the entire downtown. It would put the decorative lighting above, I think, Van Evan, and maybe some of the East Alley if we wanted to pivot and make that area a little bit better. The wall murals are only $75,000. I see that as kind of an offshoot of the facade improvement program. It brings a little bit of heart to the town. And then the pedestrian crossings of the East Alley there, while they're at like $600,000 for the two of them, it would kind of button up that entire East Alley. So you could do all of those things and then scale down maybe some of the streetscape improvements and repaving of East Van Emmon and East Hydraulic, so that you've got kind of a completed block and a half there for communal living or communal event space.
Any thoughts? Mr. Culture.
Yeah.
Seaver? Well, why don't we, this gives us some direction, right? Yeah. It gives you direction. You're going to put it
in. So just recapping that then. So that puts us at 2.8. You directed us that you'd be okay with a little bit of water and sewer funds being used, your downtown TIF funds. So we'll try to package together something that's between $3 and $4 million using those other funds. So it probably gets you all those things, but then it leaves off the courthouse hill, the gateway signage, some of the downtown art components, and the pedestrian bridge across the Fox River in full. You know, that's like its own project.
So I'm just going to throw this out. If we were to get $3 million, and this, you know, if we don't get the full amount, then maybe it's more money. If we were to get a big chunk of money, let's put it that way, I'm not opposed to putting some landscaping on that hill. I'm not in favor of putting $400,000 there, I'm just telling you that.
Right.
I think you can do some decent things, but those are my thoughts. So.
Yeah.
Right. Can you hold that or you want to ask first?
The Zoom comment. Paul's going to see.
Paul, okay. Sorry. I just have a little hand there, Paul.
No problem. I totally agree with Mayor Purcell. I think above the matching funds, if you had a specific project like a portable stage or the wall mural or something like that, and you had some numbers and give us a chance to basically match funds and come up with a budget, we would definitely be interested in that. So.
Okay. Well, I think, Paul, what I'll have Bart do is talk to you outside, obviously, the meeting.
Okay.
The challenges we face, like every other community, we got to have this application together and in by January. So I think what you're saying is super. We just have to figure out how to phrase that and put it in the application. So who did I see? Jason and then Chris?
I just had a quick question on the broadband. Do we have like a geographic map that shows what coverage it would be?
Good question.
I don't think that to Christy. Christy, I don't know if I think MetroNet had given us a preliminary quote if they had mapped it out or just taken a grab number.
They did map it out.
Okay.
They provided that, so I can include that for the next meeting to show you the area. But it should cover all of Riverfront Park and the public spaces on the east side of 47.
Does any of that stretch over to the west side or no?
I don't believe we requested extend to the west side, but I can provide you with the full map and it'll show you the coverage area.
Can we, Christy, can we get that map, but can we also get an option on the west side? I think if we're going to do broadband, it's just my opinion.
Right.
We need to extend at least both sides of 47 because there's businesses on the west side as well.
Yeah.
Sure.
It helps out on days like today.
I'm sorry?
I said it would help out on days like today where Comcast was down.
Yeah, that's true. Was Comcast down?
Yes.
Yeah. Jim, you know who caused that? Yeah. The Reds. How many days are we? I thought I saw you. Okay, go ahead.
So on the overhead lights, are we fixed, when we turn in our application, are we fixed to like that street? So my thought is, instead of dynamic, could we look at East and West Alley for the overhead lights and hydraulic instead?
I think that we will have enough time to map out a couple different proposals and get your feedback and lock it into the agreement before the deadline without much of an issue. And that's kind of what I was envisioning too, with the East Alley, maybe pivoting some of the lights off the roadway.
Yeah, I'd rather focus on, like, it kind of seems like we've got two improved corridors, alleys and then hydraulic. I kind of like to focus on those.
And the state does give us some flexibility upon award and then after grant agreement if things that pivot. So I don't think it would be an automatic DQ, either at the start if we wanted to change or halfway through. I think we probably have to justify it.
Okay. Other comments? Excuse me. Okay, well, that gives us some direction. We'll bring something back next meeting, and we'll probably tweak it. But again, I'd like to have something where we can vote on something for December, because we need to get this in January before, probably before our first meeting. I think this is a real opportunity to spark some real interest down there. And as you said, Mr. Funkhauser, be a catalyst for future development. So, good. Thank you all. That's a good discussion. Okay, what are we on to now? Public Safety Committee. Do we have anything from Public Safety?
Oh, no report, I'm sorry.
Oh, don't be sorry. I don't think anyone's upset that you didn't have a report. Admin Committee?
No report.
What's my pleasure. Okay, Park Board. I know, Tim, you want to talk about the holiday celebration. Christmas holiday, Thanksgiving holiday, Christmas. We can say Christmas. Yes. Can you step to the mic? Please, in case people on Zoom might want to hear.
First, I just wanted to thank everyone that sponsored the flag for the Legion Flags of Valor display at Town Square. We had 140 flags this year, and it's great for the Legion and Boy Scouts. Not only did they help us get the word out, but they also helped us set up the flag and everything like that. So, great turnout and great way to honor veterans in Campbell County.
And they're having a flag ceremony Sunday at 10:30 at the Legion. Yeah, that's, he called me and told me. I was thinking I was going to be gone, but I'm going to be there. So, thank you.
And then just on the holiday celebrations, the city's holiday celebration is not this Friday, next Friday, and Saturday, Friday, November 19th, and Saturday, November 20th. Friday, it's all in the downtown area. You're going to drive by Santa visits, Christmas parade, and then the Christmas tree lighting ceremony. And that all will go between 3:30 and 7:30 on Friday, November 19th, and then on Saturday, the 20th. We have drive-by Santa visits between noon and 3 downtown, and then we will be at the Legion starting at 4 o'clock with a walk run. Then we have a viewing party, they have a Kris Kringle Market, and then we're ending the weekend with a fireworks show at 6:30 at the Countryside, about 47.
What'd you say about the run? How long is it?
Well, the run starts at 4 o'clock. Depending on how fast you are, it can go anywhere from 15 minutes to an hour.
So, it's called the run, but I will be
walkers
in.
Walkers are welcome.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm going to probably walk there too. Yeah. Well, you know what? Maybe we'll have some holiday cheer while we're enjoying the jog and the walk.
But even if you're not running, you know, please stop by the Legion. They have a viewing party. They have over 30 vendors doing the Kris Kringle Market, and they'll be there to with food and drinks and then for the fireworks show at 6:30.
And Tony at the Legion, when did he become the. I don't know his title.
Commander.
That was earlier this year, wasn't it?
Yes, I think the Memorial Day ceremony was the first kind of thing he had done with the city.
And he and Tim just work great together. It's amazing that just you've done more probably in the last 6 months with them than we were able to do for several years.
Yeah, and then also with the run, some of the proceeds are going to the Knights of Columbus. us to help them out with their Christmas toy donations and Christmas dinners and stuff like that. So even if you're a walker, some of those proceeds will go help out with their organization as well.
Probably help out my heart conditions too. I'm sure I have a few. Excellent. Anything else? Any questions for Tim?
That's it. Thank you very much.
Hey, Tim, one other thing. Tell us, how's the fall, your fall soccer and then your extended fall soccer league? How'd the turnout go for those?
So, in the extent of what we did last year, just due to COVID, since we're still kind of in a semi-COVID situation, we did it again this year, and I think we doubled the numbers. Just in the late fall soccer, which will probably be a permanent thing now.
That's awesome. So, yeah, your staff's been real creative.
Yeah, it's been fantastic turnout at that. Response again from the public.
People love York. Thank you.
Thank you.
Go online then. What's that?
They're winning.
Oh, they have basketball now?
First game of the season.
Oh, I thought they meant the football team. I'm like, they've already won once this year. That's pretty good. Okay. Planning and Zoning Commission. Christy, is there anything going on?
No report.
Thank you. City Council report. Anyone have anything? All news is 1, 2, 3. No report. Okay, didn't work.
No report.
Thank you. Oh, I'm sorry, no report, sir. That's what she City Clerk report.
No report, sir.
Community liaison reports? Anything?
Your Honor. Your
Honor. I've heard you've had some fun there, Chris. Hey. Staff report?
You have one item, Your Honor. We have the Fox Hill Roadway project that's undergoing currently. We are aware of a number of construction and contractor issues, which we're working through at a staff level. We do encourage people in the Fox Hill subdivision, if they have complaints or comments or notes that they have not already forwarded to an alderman or to the City Hall, to please do so, because we're in the process of getting a few issues remedied, and we still have to do punch lists and all those other things. So it is helpful if you perform those things along. That's all I have.
Thank you. Mayor's report, continue. Wow. So we have a couple items. I already updated you on the Ward 2 appointment. Next thing. This is not us specifically, but if you recall earlier in the year, Lynn and staff and Jim and the health department, they did an awesome job getting out vaccinations. Just want everyone to know booster shots are available over at the health department. And they're available at OSCO and Walgreens too, but I know the health department's doing those. And somebody asked if we're going to do them, and no, we're not. There's plenty of places to do them. So. Okay, now we have some city building updates and the water study. And I know this meeting's dragging on, but this water stuff, remember, Joliet wants to make a decision by December, and I think we just really want to make a decision and do it before. But Bart has some building stuff, and then the water study update.
Yeah, building stuff, I'll keep real brief. We're still reviewing plans and documents internally. We did get the furniture quote back. It is a fully furnished building, everything from the lobby to closets with shelves and everything. It is about $100,000 more than the last time we talked and reviewed the cost estimate. So we're reviewing that internally to see if we want to scale that back at all before it's being presented to you. And so that's a conversation we'll have with the mayor here over the next couple weeks before you see it, hopefully, on November 23rd. So just as a timing note there too, the Bradford, so that's high density storage and lockers, quotes, so Space Savers, the vendor that we expect. That is a quote that is expiring on a rolling 2-week basis, so we've been asking them to extend it, and they have so far without issues. The furniture quote we just got in last week, so we have a couple months on that to be able to vet it. But the goal is obviously to get it out the door here in front of you sooner rather than later. And that, I don't have the other building updates.
Questions on the building updates? Mr. Funkhauser.
With the furniture, what would be the thought of just bringing it forward for us to take a look at before we get any tests, if it's fully furnished? We're talking $100,000. I'm not sure if it's for us to take a look and see what it is.
That may occur. We haven't had a chance to even look at it really as a group yet, so we're going to do that to make sure that we're comfortable with that before we then bring it to the commission.
Other questions? So next, the water study update. As we heard several times, Joliet's looking for a decision by December. And we have had several options presented. Really, in a nutshell, the option one is Fox River, whether we go by ourselves or with the other municipalities. And the other option, you know, option B, with a couple different sub-options, is Lake Michigan Water. So I think we need to try to move the discussion forward so we can feel comfortable making a decision by December, or at least to say no to Joliet, and then, you know, perhaps we can even have good direction that we're going to go this option or that option. So I know we had the chart that was distributed via email. Not that everyone has to fill that out, but it gave us some points to consider. What are the different important features or aspects? I know hearing some of you, representation's been one. Some of you like the representation on the board. Others say, you know, they like the idea of, I've heard several say they like the idea of Lake Michigan Water because they feel it's a little more stable. There's been questions. I don't see if you have a question on the wells, the backup wells needed, correct? And what was that question again, and did you get your answer, Seaver?
The question was specifically, would the backup wells be sustainable enough to be able to be used as backup wells well into the future? And that answer is, we think yes, and I think the estimates that the engineers have put up, it would be beyond 2050 as being okay. But the replenishment rate is more difficult to model, and it depends on a lot of factors with other people and whatever decisions they choose to use that are also used. So that was kind of the high-level response.
Okay. So let me do this. Is there anyone in here who would like to look at Fox River as their first option?
Yes, that helps.
Okay. No, that's fine. And again, it doesn't mean we won't come back to that, but it just as a first option. Okay, so having said that, means Lake Michigan becomes our preference. And I think it's a strong preference. And quite honestly, I've heard, I don't say a lot of comments, but I've heard several comments in public. The comments I've heard have been overwhelmingly Lake Michigan, with one exception. I had one person say, just do whatever's the cheapest option. Well, it turns out Lake Michigan is, they're all about the same, aren't they, Brad? Realistically, sure. In the big scheme of things, they're all very similar. I think Brad estimated that on the low end, the 2030 water rates, based on the numbers we have now, again, they can change, would be like $92 per month, and the high end is like $102 per month. So the big scheme of things, they're really similar. Okay, so representation, I know some of you have commented to me you'd like to have, you know, you prefer if we had representation on whichever option we go to. Anyone want to give me their thoughts on that? Yes, no, or indifferent?
Well, don't they have to change the commission structure in DuPage County if you want a representation? They got to change the state statute?
Yes, and to that point, there's not been a vote, but that was a question we asked when we met with DuPage, was it probably 3 or 4 weeks ago? The three mayors, you know, Oswego, Montgomery, myself, and the administrators, and Public Works, were they all the Public Works people there, or just two of us? No, all three, okay, so there's nine of us. And that was one of the questions, and we had several questions that we wanted to get addressed, and without them voting, you know, because they wanted to see where the board members were. They kind of talked to their different board members, and their board members were very supportive of changing the legislation, because for anybody outside DuPage County getting there, they'd have to change the legislation anyway. And so they were very receptive to doing some, you know, proportional representation. So maybe at the beginning, because all our communities combined, including Boulder Hill, because they can get money or they get water from Montgomery, all our communities combined represent about half the population that one of their districts does, and their districts each have two, so they were receptive to giving us a district with one vote, and then even considering in the legislation as our population hits a certain threshold, you know, comparable to one of theirs, potentially increasing to two. So they were receptive to that. So, and Joliet has said they would too, but again, Joliet, you still need to create the legislation. Either one would have to create legislation to get us in it. So I know it was a long-winded answer, but it was something that, based on the comments I've heard, we definitely had that addressed. Other comments on the representation? Is anyone opposed to us having representation? Let me ask you that.
What's that?
Is anyone opposed to us going down the path that whichever direction we go, we get representation on the board?
I mean, it only helps us, right?
I don't think it hurts us. Yeah. Kathy's got an opinion on this, and I'll let her share it because she's got a lot more experience than I do. But you have 12 seconds.
Having representation is crucial.
Wow. That gives you 9 more seconds for later. So, Kathy, you've represented different communities.
I'm doing a water thing in Stevenson County, doing one at home with Flossmore, doing a lot of water things. And lack of representation is a real pain later. The reality is one now and everybody else's two is not great. But the fact that they're willing, as we expand, to consider that, I think that's important.
Yeah,
I
think for representation is a good thing. Because a contract is a contract for a certain term, but representation, you have to see it at the table on every day, dealings, and everything goes on. So I mean, it is important for the long term.
Taxation without representation.
Yes, exactly, and that's exactly the experience. Is there were certain members who decided there were capital improvements, while other people saying, "Why? No, it's a waste." Or certain studies. What are we studying? Why are we the usual? What we live with, and except there, it's big bucks.
Okay.
Speaking to the change of legislation for these in the veto session, actually there was a piece that was brought up, and Director Montgomery Esquio was mentioned in their discussion regarding the changes that they were looking at for the water district.
That's good. Okay, so representation. How about, does anyone have a concern of the cost of the Joliet versus the, or maybe I should rephrase it. Does anyone have an opinion on the cost of the Joliet model versus the DuPage Water Commission model?
You told us they were so similar, didn't that?
I didn't ask you, you know.
Oh. Yeah. I'm listening, though.
John, you have 9 seconds
left.
Yeah. Tom, did I say it? He says he's so interested and wants to know what the difference.
Okay, well, I need to ask, because when people ask me, I want them to say yes. You are. You're not getting home until at least 11 o'clock. You're keeping her late. So, okay, aside from Kathy, does anyone have a thought one way or concern one way or another about Joliet versus DuPage?
As far as cost?
Yeah. No? Okay.
I mean, $6 million total difference or $6 on the bill. I mean, that's what we're talking about.
It's something they had a long time.
So we're talking $213 million to $219 million, and then $94 to $100. That's there's comparable.
Okay, that's fine. That's fine. Okay, what about Joliet would not be in place till 2030, roughly?
Yes, I do have a concern about that.
Okay, go ahead.
That is a tremendous amount of pipe pumps and a ton of stuff that's got to go in. I'm in the industry, we push the dates back over and over and over. Right now, I've ordered 2 valves that are usually pretty high stock pipes. It's a 12-inch and a 8-inch valve. They're back ordered for 30 weeks. I am now going to have to empty an entire pond at the Rockford Airport next spring, put these valves in. I'm not comfortable at all waiting for Joliet to bring their line all the way up and then all the way here. amount that works. I hands down go over to DuPage over Joliet any day of the week on that alone.
Okay.
I feel a little more like you do about that because we don't know what could happen. Leave the pages of this part out.
Right.
And it's a bigger price tag, too.
Work. The pumps are working. Yeah. We know it works. I mean, there's so many issues you could have. And they're going to have. It's inevitable. And that deadline, if it only gets pushed back 6 months, I'd be astonishedly amazed.
If, you know, something happened, bad happened, could that make their price go higher?
Yeah.
Of course.
I mean, that's the other thing about the price differential at this stage.
It's still on my mind, unfortunately.
Yeah. I mean, you're within the margin of error on any of these, you know, for cost overrun and other issues. Yeah, so it's tough to break it down. It's tough to, you know, compare it because there's so much guessing involved.
So, just something else. And we don't want to do Fox River, so doing that on our own is not really an option. If we're going to Lake Michigan, unless we just want to increase the cost even more, we're going to have to do a joint project with Montgomery and Oswego.
Correct.
Okay, and I don't hear any opposition to that at all. No one's like, yeah, we need to do it on our own.
Nope,
just check it. Okay, just check it. Okay.
Much larger brand.
The one question I would ask, though, Montgomery talked about a few other, you know, what would happen in that case if they decided they didn't want to join with us?
So, good question. Our costs would go up. There's no doubt they would. I have had several conversations with the village president, Brown, and obviously President Parlay in Oswego. I think their direction would be to try to get everyone to work together. I think they look at that as a benefit to everyone in the community. So while I can't say it's, you know, it's not going to happen, that Montgomery would go off on their own. I think, if I had a guess, their inkling is to try to stick with the group. Again, I can't even, you know, predict for sure what we're going to do, but you're definitely giving me a real good direction, and I appreciate that. But I think they're going to try to stick with us. And I think really, when we have the conversation with the group of, you know, the three municipalities, the couple things that keep coming to mind are, one is just doing something collaboratively. This just makes sense. And it's a sub-region, whatever, but we've become part of a bigger regional solution to water. And, you know, I think we all think that's important. And I think, like all of you, we just trust the reliability of Lake Michigan more than we do the Fox River. Just so, okay. What are there any other comments or questions, points y'all have tonight? We've had some conversations with DuPage. I wanted to talk to all of you. We've obviously had a lot of meetings with Joliet, with others, but I wanted to get some feedback from all of you. Anything I didn't bring up tonight that we need to talk about? Before we're gonna try to get some more answers before the next meeting. Like I said, I want to just try to really come to a head by December.
I think the only concern you can address is to Joe's point. If we're not comfortable with Joe yet, if you may just want to get us a seat at the table, but are we still comfortable, you know, not with Joe yet? That's the only concern.
Here's. Matt, that's a great question, and it's crossed my mind several times. And that, when we had the conversation with the groups, the group of mayors, was brought up. I can only go by what we've been told, that they're receptive to it. You know, if we were to go that path to DuPage, and they got to May, and they didn't get the legislation passed, or they just said, we're going to flip you the bird and move on, we're kind of at their mercy at that point. But I don't see a reason why they would for this, because it only benefits them for us to buy water, and that's it. It's really, you know, I had a good relation business, you know, decision both people make out, and there's a benefit to them. So while I can't promise they won't do it, I think if we have DuPage County, which is 920,000 people, Remember, City of Chicago supplies this water, so there's what, 2.7 million people. They supply water to a lot of the towns in Cook County. In fact, one thing I learned is this actually, Illinois has almost 8 million people on Lake Michigan water, more than any state or province in the whole Great Lakes watershed. And we actually have, as much as you hate to believe it, there's a benefit of living in Illinois right now for the water. We've got some of the looser rules, or loosest, I guess there's more to it. So, loosest rules of any of the states or provinces. And one of the reasons we're looking to make a decision is we don't know when the Supreme Court might change their mind. You just don't know when there's another challenge that might change their mind. So, long-winded answer again to that. But that's crossed my mind, but I think we've kind of hashed over anything. Is it impossible? No. Is it unlikely? Yes. So, Chris?
Does the State Water Commission put anything in writing of, you know, documenting our conversations of their...
I think they have. Barb will reach out, because I think Dan and Oswego's been the counterpoint. I think they have, but I don't want to swear by that, okay?
We'll have some guidance that we can put in writing for you at the next board meeting, for sure.
Because we rule out, if that does kind of concern me, you know, then do they just kind of take us, it's a tough decision to rule one out explicitly without knowing for certain that we can have representation of it. And it's a gamble.
Yeah, and here's the thing, there's no guarantee of representation on either, because both of them have to change the legislation. So at some point, we'll see what we can come up with for the next meeting. At some point, we're going to have to take a leap of faith. And the other thing to keep in mind, too, is DuPage Water, they can have the pipe in about 5 or 6 years, where Joliet, is 9 years. Now, for us, it's not as critical, although there are some expenses that we might be able to hold off on. If we know we can get water in 5 or 6 years, but it becomes more critical for like Oswego. They're running. Brad and Eric, is that correct? Oswego's more tight on the time frame than we are.
For the drilling of the Oswego well.
Yeah. Okay. And if we went DuPage and could get it done in 5 or 6 years, that might save us some capital. Not to the tune of $100 million, but. Other questions or comments? Again, I know this is a heavy decision, but we're going to have to move it. That's where we're at. We're going to have to move it. So, Ken?
One more little question. This is it's a side question. So, do these companies bill directly to, or does each municipality, like on Lake Michigan Water, how does that work? Does DuPage Water actually do a billing, or
I'm not aware of them doing any direct billing in any of the other towns and cell phone communities.
Other questions? Okay, I think that definitely gives us some direction. I know some of the questions that have been asked, we've already floated, and just we've got to make sure we get the answers for those. We'll bring this up again next meeting, and I'm hoping again we can make a decision that meeting in December. I don't want to have a second December meeting if we can avoid it. I mean, if we need to, we'll have one. That's why I want to put it for discussion again next meeting. Any other final questions or comments on that? Well, thank you all for your participation. I know it's a lot, but it's important. You actually have 14 of them to make this decision, wouldn't you? Any additional business? Kathy, do you want to use your remaining 2 seconds?
No.
Oh, well. Okay, citizen comments. Are there any citizen comments either live or on Zoom? Nope, okay. No need for executive session. Is there a motion to adjourn?
Yes.
Motion here, second by Cole. Call in favor.
Yes.
Aye, opposed. Thank you very much. I appreciate